Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Where it has been stated that the Lord's enemies and devotees attain the same destination, this refers to the ultimate oneness of Brahman and Lord Krishna. This may be understood by the analogy of the sun and the sunshine, in which Brahman is like the sunshine and Krishna himself is like the sun. Please repeat. Where it has been stated that the Lord's enemies and devotees attain the same destination, this refers to the ultimate oneness of Brahman and Lord Krishna. This may be understood by the analogy of the sun and the sunshine, in which Brahman is like the sunshine, and Krishna himself is like the sun. This verse is from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.278 of Srila Rupa Goswami, who further discusses this same topic in his Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Purva 5.41. There he refers to the Vishnu Purana 4.15.1, where Maitreya Muni asked Parashara in regard to Jai and Vijay how it was that Hiranyakashipu next became Ravana and enjoyed more material happiness than the demigods, but did not attain salvation, although when he became Shishupal, quarrelled with Krishna and was killed, he attained salvation and merged into the body of Lord Krishna. Parashara replied that Hiranyakashipu failed to recognize Lord Nrsingadev as Lord Vishnu. He thought that Nrsingadev was some living entity who had acquired such opulence by various pious activities. Being overcome by the mode of passion, he considered Lord Nrsingadev an ordinary living entity, not understanding his form. Nevertheless, because Hiranyakashipu was killed by the hands of Lord Nrsingadev, in his next life he became Ravana and had proprietorship of unlimited opulence. As Ravana, with unlimited material enjoyment, he could not accept Lord Ram as the personality of Godhead. Therefore, even though he was killed by Ram, he did not attain Sayujya, or oneness with the body of the Lord. In his Ravana body, he was too much attached to Ram's wife, Janaki, and because of that attraction, he was able to see Lord Ram. But instead of accepting Lord Ram as an incarnation of Vishnu, Ravana thought him an ordinary living being. When killed by the hands of Ram, therefore, he got the privilege of taking birth as Shishupal, who had such immense opulence that he could think himself a competitor to Krishna. Although Shishupal was always envious of Krishna, he frequently uttered the name of Krishna and always thought of the beautiful features of Krishna. Thus, by constantly thinking and chanting of Krishna, even unfavorably, he was cleansed of the contamination of his sinful activities. When Shishupal was killed by the Sudarshan Chakra of Krishna as an enemy, his constant remembrance of Krishna dissolved the reactions of his vices, and he attained salvation by becoming one with the body of the Lord. From this incident, one can understand that even a person who thinks of Krishna as an enemy and is killed by him may be liberated by becoming one with the body of Krishna. What then must be the destination of devotees who always think favorably of Krishna as their master or friend? These devotees must attain a situation better than Brahmaloka, the impersonal bodily effulgence of Krishna. Devotees cannot be situated in the impersonal Brahman effulgence unto which impersonalists desire to merge. The devotees are placed in Vaikuntha Loka, or Krishna Loka. This discussion between Maitreya Muni and Parashara Muni centered on whether devotees come down into the material world in every millennium, like Jai and Vijay, who were cursed by the Kumaras to that effect. In the course of these instructions to Maitreya about Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, and Shishupal, Parashara did not say that these demons were formerly Jai and Vijay. He simply described the transmigration through three lives. It is not necessary for the Vaikuntha associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to come to take the roles of his enemies in all the millenniums in which he appears. The fall down, it's inverted commas, the fall down of Jai and Vijay occurred in a particular millennium. Jai and Vijay do not come down in every millennium to act as demons. To think that some associates of the Lord fall down from Vaikuntha in every millennium to become demons is totally incorrect. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has all the tendencies that may be found in the living entity, for he is the chief living entity. Therefore, it is natural that sometimes Lord Vishnu wants to fight, just as he has the tendencies to create, to enjoy, to be a friend, to accept a mother and father, and so on. He also has the tendency to fight. Sometimes important landlords and kings keep wrestlers with whom they practice mock fighting. And Vishnu makes similar arrangements. The demons who fight with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the material world are sometimes his associates. When there is a scarcity of demons and the Lord wants to fight, he instigates some of his associates of Vaikuntha to come and play as demons. When it is said that Shishupal merged into the body of Krishna, it should be noted that in this case, he was not Jai or Vijay. He was actually a demon. In his Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Srila Sanatana Goswami has explained that the attainment of salvation by merging into the Brahman effulgence of the Lord cannot be accepted as the highest success in life, because demons like Kamsa, who were famous for killing Brahmanas and cows, attained that salvation. For devotees, such salvation is abominable. Devotees are actually in a transcendental position, whereas non-devotees are candidates for hellish conditions of life. There is always a difference between the life of a devotee and the life of a demon, and their realizations are as different as heaven and hell. Demons are always accustomed to being malicious toward devotees and to killing brahmanas and cows. For demons, merging into the Brahman effulgence may be very glorious, but for devotees it is hellish. A devotee's aim in life is to attain perfection in loving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who aspire to merge into the Brahman effulgence are as abominable as demons. Devotees who aspire to associate with the Supreme Lord to render him transcendental loving service are far superior. Yadarinam priyanancha prapyam ekam ivoditam tad brahma krishna yoraikyat kiranarkopama jushoho. Where it has been stated that the Lord's enemies and devotees attain the same destination, this refers to the ultimate oneness of Brahman and Lord Krishna. This may be understood by the analogy of the sun and the sunshine, in which Brahman is like the sunshine and Krishna himself is like the sun. Om Agyanati Marandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpa Tribhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I'm not qualified to speak on this verse. I have zero realization. Here it's saying that the impersonal Brahman is hell. So I have no realization of that particular type of hell. But I'll try and say something relevant. So today we're going to Harinam in Hemel Hempstead. So please assemble in the car park at 12 o'clock if you can come. And we have the new minibus, 17 seats, I think. So we'll try and fill it up. And also evening Hari Nam as well. So today's verse is closely connected with last Sunday's verse, which I will read. Kama dveshad bayat snehad yata bhakcheshvari manaha aveshataragam hitva bahavas tadgatim gataha. As through devotion to the Lord one can attain his abode, many have attained that goal by abandoning their sinful activities and absorbing their minds in the Lord through lust, envy, fear, or affection. So who knows where that verse comes from? Okay, which scripture does it come from? Srimad Bhagavatam. It's from the seventh canto. At the beginning, at the end of the, well, not towards, towards the end of the sixth canto, there is a story of Indra and Vritrasura. And the Lord takes the side of Indra. And he empowers Indra to kill Vritrasura, even though Vritrasura is a Vaishnav. So this gives rise to a doubt in the mind of Parikshit Maharaj. Because he's thinking, well, the Lord is equal to everyone, but he tends to side with the demigods. So he brings up this point, at which point Sukadev Goswami replies by referring to a conversation between Yudhisthira Maharaj and Narad Muni at the Rajasuya sacrifice. So at that sacrifice, Krishna killed Shishupal, and Shishupal merged into the body of Krishna. So this astonished Yudhisthira Maharaj, because he's thinking, this is a demon. How come a demon can get such an exalted position as to merge with the body of the Lord? And he asked this to Narad Muni, because Narad Muni was also present at the assembly. And he says, how is it that Shishupal gets such an elevated destination, and yet King Vena, who was also a notorious demon, he was obliged to go to hell? It seems that the Lord is not treating everyone the same. He's not treating every demon the same even. So this is a good question. Is the Lord partial or impartial? So what do you think? Is he partial or impartial? Partial. We've got some people saying partial, some people saying both. Does anyone say impartial? Impartial. Who does? Krishna. Okay, where does he say that? Okay, so in the Bhagavad Gita, Samoham Sarabhutishu, Nami Dvesho Stina Priya, Eba Janti Tumambakcha, Maite Teshu Chapyaham. He says, I am equal to everyone. I favour no one, nor do I envy anyone. But what about the second half of the verse? But to those who render devotional service to me, I am a friend in them, and they are a friend to me. Actually, this verse, although it appears to establish the impartiality of the Lord, it is cited by Jiva Goswami as an example of the prejudice of the Lord. Vishamatva. He's actually not equal. One of Krishna's qualities, he is partial. He's partial to his devotee. So, he's both, right? It's a big topic, and it's discussed in the first chapter of the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's also discussed in other places. Actually, it's said that the Lord is impartial, but his devotee is partial. Therefore, the devotees, they treat the innocent with mercy, and they ignore the demons. But that's the devotee of the Lord. That's another topic. This is also discussed in Madhurya Kadambini. While we're on the topic of Madhurya Kadambini, I mentioned in the purport, the word fall down is in inverted commas. The fall down of Jai and Vijay. So why would that be in inverted commas? Okay, they didn't fall down, so what happened then? Yes. So why did they take on that role? To give the Lord pleasure. Yeah. There's sometimes a discussion, did they fall down or not? Yes. Okay. So there's a choice. Seven births as devotees or three as demons. And they chose to be a demon. So then they could go back quicker. Gaur Krishna Prabhu. Okay. Ruben? Okay. Yes, in Madhurya Kadambini, it's very clearly explained that Jai and Vijay, they were on the platform of Prema, and in their mood of Prema, they desired that the Lord display his pastime of fighting. They were thinking, the Lord is so able to fight, but he has no one equal to him to fight. A good fight requires a worthy opponent. So Jai and Vijay were thinking, well, we can be the worthy opponent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they desired like this. And just by that desire, the Lord made arrangements for the four Kumaras to come, for Jai and Vijay to disrespect them, and then for the Kumaras to curse them. So it's all the Leela of the Lord. So we should never think that Jai and Vijay fell down from the spiritual world. Yes, so this verse I was mentioning, which is the previous verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's ambiguous because it says, Bahavas tad gatim gataha. The demons, they attained the same destination as the devotee. So at first glance, that sounds, well, it's misleading, isn't it? Well, the devotees, they attain the spiritual world. They go to Krishna Loka. Does that mean the demons who are killed by Krishna, they also go to Krishna Loka? Do they get to enjoy with Krishna in his eternal pastimes? The answer is no. And the reason is given in the third line on today's verse. Tad Brahma Krishnayor Aikyat. Because Brahma, or the Brahman effulgence, and Krishna are considered to be one. So in that sense, they get the same destination. Here we see it's very interesting how the Srimad Bhagavatam is the particular scripture that's very dear to the Vaishnavas. And yet, some of the very important Vaishnava conclusions are not obvious from the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, we need the Acharya to explain. Acharya van Purusho Veda. Unless we go through the Acharya, we cannot have knowledge. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami, in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he has explained the actual meaning of this verse, that Tad Brahma Krishnayor Aikyat. Because Brahman and Krishna are one, then in that sense, we can say that the demons and the devotees have the same destination. So in the first chapter, or is it the second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, there's a description of the three phases of the Absolute. So it's a famous shloka, so I ask someone to please recite the shloka. What is a shloka? It describes the three phases of the Absolute. Bhagavan iti shabdati. Okay. Vedanti tat tatva vedas tatvam yajgyanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti Bhagavan iti shabdati. So the tatvavits, those who are transcendentalists, who know the science, they explain that the absolute truth is non-dual advaya gyan. It is non-dual substance, which has three phases, Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So because it's non-dual, then we can say that Brahman and Krishna are one in that sense, you see. So this verse is also elaborated upon in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The third shloka of the entire book is an elaboration of this, in wherein it is said, Yadadvaitam Brahmopanishadi tadapyasya tanupa, that the non-dual Brahma, which is described in the Upanishads, is actually Tanuba, the effulgence of the Lord's body, you see. Therefore, it is correct to say that Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan are actually one. Paramatma is Angshavibhav, it is a plenary portion. And Bhagavan is Sadaishvarya Purna, it is a complete manifestation of the Lord. So, what does Narada Muni reply when Yudhisthira Maharaj asked him, why is it that Shishupal merged and yet King Vena went to hell? And he explained, actually, it is the Lord treats everyone the same. So when from our vision, we may see a difference. We may see that one is getting a reward and one is getting a punishment. But actually, from the Lord's perspective, it is all a reward. Now, the difference between Shishupal and King Vena is given in the purport. So if you're attentive, you'll understand the reason why Shishupal received a higher destination. What was that reason? Yes, very good. Very attentive. So he was always meditating on the beautiful form of Krishna, and he was chanting the name Krishna. Although he was doing it in an inimical way, still, he got the desired result. Just in his connection, that I was watching Yadavar's DVD series, and there's one devotee describing Rath Yatra. I believe it was in Chicago. So the devotees, they employed a sort of public relations company to advertise this Rath Yatra, because they knew that Prabhupada was coming, and they wanted a big Rath Yatra. And several newspapers, they featured articles on this. And one of the articles, it was very favorable, but it didn't mention Krishna very much. And there was another article, and it was written by some famous Pulitzer Prize winner who was known for his cynicism. So he had a very negative attitude towards the devotees. But his article mentioned the word Krishna a lot, and even mentioned parts of the Mahamantra. So Prabhupada, he'd read the two articles. He liked the critical article more, just because the word Krishna was appearing more. See, so Shishupal, even though he's chanting Krishna in a bad way, doesn't matter, because the transcendental word Krishna will purify. So from Hiranyakashipu to Ravana, he did not attain salvation. Hiranyakashipu did not attain salvation. Instead, he attained opulence. That's because he did not recognize that that Lord Nrisimhadeva was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the same happened again. Ravana, he enjoyed opulence just by virtue of being killed by the Lord, but because he did not understand the supreme position of Lord Ram, the same thing happened. He took birth as Shishupal, who was also fabulously opulent, so much so that he could consider himself a rival of Krishna. But then, because he was chanting Krishna's name, then he received something even higher than any position in the material world, which is merging with the Supreme. So that's the bliss. It's called Brahma Sukha. This bliss is considered higher than even the bliss of Lord Brahma. So it's higher than anything you can attain in the material world. And yet, as Gaur Krishna pointed out, Kaivalyam Narakayati, for the devotee, that is hell. To merge with the Supreme is hell. So why is it hell? What's so bad about it? Why do we despise it? Does anyone want to merge? No service to the Lord. So what's so good about service to the Lord? Okay. Be truly happy. Okay. Okay. So the second canto, there's a statement, Muktirit Vanyatarupam Svarupena Yavastiti. The liberation, real liberation, means to give up anyata rup, any other conception, and to be situated in swarup, or to be situated in one's real nature. So this is the real nature of the jiva. Krishnera swarupahoy, jivera swarupahoy, Krishnera nityadas, eternal servant of the Lord. So as I mentioned when I gave class the last time, there's a statement in the next chapter, Krishnera sammata hoiti bada bhaktapad, higher even than the position of being equal to Krishna is to be the devotee of Krishna. That is why everyone is a devotee of Krishna, including Lord Balaram himself, including even Lord Krishna. He comes as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take the position of devotee. It is the highest position you can imagine. Salokya sarsti samipya sarupya katvam apyuta diyamanam nagrinante bina matsevanam jana. And the devotee will not accept any type of opulence if it means giving up the service of the Lord. Even an aikya. Aikya means, in this connection, means merging. It's not even considered a type of liberation for devotees. And they will not even go near it. So this is the fundamental principle of Vaishnavism. And this illustrates the point that we must go through the Acharya, because the statement that Narad Muni makes, Bahavas Tadgatin Gataha, suggesting that the devotees and the demons get the same destination, is completely un-Vaishnav. Why does he do that? Why did Srila Vyasadeva write like this? I don't know why he wrote like this. There's a whole... When he compiled the Vedas, it was very elevated. Only the Brahmins could understand. Stri Sudra Dvichubandhanam Trayina Shruti Gochara. The Vaishyas, the woman, and the friends of the Brahmins, they could not understand the intricacies of the Vedas. Therefore, he compiled the Mahabharata. The Mahabharata is very accessible to everyone. That was his mercy. But he was still feeling despondent. So Narada Muni came, and Narada Muni explained why he was despondent. Naishkarmyam apyachyuta bhava vajitam na shobati jnanam alam niranjana. Shishirada gokulananda ki jai. So Narada Muni explained to Śrīla Vyāsadeva, what you've done is very good, but it is achyuta bhava vajita. It is devoid of Krishna consciousness. There is insufficient description of love of Krishna, achyuta bhava. And this is the problem. As the demigods pray, when Krishna's in the womb, the demigods, they pray, in yero vindaksham vimuktimaninas tvayastabhavada vishuddha buddhayaha. Aruhya krichrena padam padam tatah patanchado nadrita yushmadangrayaha. Said those who neglect to worship the lotus feet of the Lord, with great difficulty they may elevate themselves out of this material world to param padam, the position which is beyond the modes of material nature. And nipat, they must then fall down again. And they are vimukti manina, which means they only think that they're liberated, they're not actually liberated. So when Narada Muni explains to Śrīla Vyāsadeva, he says, well, you've not sufficiently described the glories of the Lord. Then Śrīla Vyāsadeva compiled the Śrīmad Bhāgavatam. Śrīmad Bhāgavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyan. Therefore it is very dear to the Vaishnavas. Therefore the Vaishnavas' conclusions are there. An impersonalist like Shankaracharya would not touch the Śrīmad Bhāgavatam because it is Vaishnav, pure Vaishnavism. And yet we see here that even acharyas like Srila Jiva Goswami, they are required to make the Bhagavatam even more Vaishnav. They will explain it perfectly. Now, if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, there are a lot of verses which might make you think that, for example, the Supreme Brahman is the highest. There are apparent statements. But when you read the Vaishnav commentaries, all that is destroyed. And the greatest Vaishnava for doing this is Srila Prabhupada. His very pranam mantra is Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachita Sitarani. He's come exactly to do this, to deliver us from impersonalism and voidism. So once we are delivered from impersonalism and voidism, then we can go back to these particular points in the Srimad Bhagavatam and understand what is the real meaning and understand the Vaishnav conclusion, you see. So therefore, Bahavas Tad Gatim Gataha means that Brahma and Krishna are one. At the same time, they're different. Okay, so these are some considerations. Actually, while we're on the topic of liberation, so what is the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam? It says, Dharma Projita Kaitava Tra. We begin by kicking out all cheating religion. So in this verse, Projita means to kick out. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he elaborates on this meaning. So you can break down the word to pra ujita. So ujita means to reject. But pra ujita has a stronger meaning. So what is the meaning of pra ujita? Does anyone know? To completely reject. So what is the difference between rejecting and completely rejecting? What is included in completely rejecting that is not included in rejecting? Pardon? Okay, well, that's not what Krishnadas Kaviraj says, but maybe it's true. Okay, so the pra, it means to give up even the desire for liberation. So it says, when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami discusses the Purusharthas, Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, he says, Taramaji, Moksha Vansha Kaitavo Pradhan. Amongst all those, The greatest type of cheating, kaitava pradan, is moksha vansha, the desire for liberation. So why is it so bad? Why is the desire for liberation so bad? It's explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita why it's so bad. It's also explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita why it's so bad. Yeah. It's not pure love for Krishna. Yeah. 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 Okay. Pendra. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he says, Ya hoiti Krishna Bhakti hoi antardana. Because if you desire liberation, then Krishna Bhakti will disappear. You'll have no Bhakti. So the desire for liberation is a big obstacle. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was explaining the science of devotional service to Sanatana Goswami, he warned him. He said, don't cultivate the desire for liberation. It will spoil your Bhakti creeper. This is also explained. Yeah. Yes. The desire to be free from suffering is selfish. Okay. I mean, if you have that desire, which is unnatural, but you try and practice devotional service and you desire to be free from it, then you'll be fine, right? But if you desire liberation, impersonal liberation, then that is an obstacle, right? So in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it says, Bhukti mukti sprihayavat pishachi ridivartati tavad bhakti sukasyatra katam abhyudayo bhavet. That bhukti, desire for enjoyment, and mukti, desire for liberation, are like a witch in the heart, and as long as that witch is present, then bhakti will not arise. So we have to be very serious about this. It's all very well to chant 16 rounds, follow the regulative principles, but if inside you're thinking, I want enjoyment and I want liberation, then you're going to hit a brick wall. You will not advance. And Prabhupada didn't want us to just remain as neophytes. He actually wants us to arise, to transcend the material world. So this moksha, it's explained that devotional service has six characteristics. Kleshagni Shubhada Moksha Laguta Krit Sudulaba Sandra Nanda Visheshatma Sri Krishna Karshani Chasa. The first two are Kleshagni and Shubhada. The devotional service destroys all impediments, all obstacles, all inauspiciousness, and it awards all auspiciousness. Now this applies to sadhana bhakti, the beginning of devotional service. Immediately these two will come about. But then the next two, which are moksha laguta krit, which means to consider liberation to be insignificant, and sudurlabha, rarely attained. This is only comes at the platform of bhava bhakti. So it's very high, very elevated. So actually to practically go beyond the desire for liberation, you can't do it unless you are on the platform of bhava bhakti. Therefore, we simply aspire to get rid of the desire for liberation. Just by aspiring for that, then our path is not obstructed. But if we aspire to become liberated, then our path will be obstructed. But the actual psychological relief from this desire only comes at bhava bhakti, which is very elevated. And the last two are sandrananda visheshatma, concentrated bliss, and Sri Krishna karshini, to attract Krishna. So these two, they only come about on the platform of prema bhakti. So that's how it works. So we have to be very careful. Don't even consider the desire for liberation. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself has taught, Janmini Jammanishvari Bhagavad Bhakti Rahoitukitvayi. Birth after birth, please let me be born again, birth after birth, and just have causeless devotional service. So, maybe I ask comments and questions.